And Lord, as we continue to live life and we may falter or fail, God the Father doesn't see our rags anymore, but He sees the righteousness of His Son. And because of this, we don't have to feel guilty. We don't have to relax our efforts as Christians, because we've been made right through Jesus. So let us, Lord, continue to serve You acceptably with all of our heart. And Father, we thank You for all the mothers this morning that are here. Lord, You know exactly each mother that's here, and You know exactly what each mother may be going through. Lord, there's no telling in one room the different areas of life that people are in, the different emotions that they may be experiencing. But Lord, You know about it. And Father, I pray this morning that through music and through the message that You would speak to mothers, speak to fathers. Lord, I pray that You would speak to us all. Father, we do pray for Miss Amanda's family and the home going for stepdad, Lord, that You would be with all of that. Lord, work out the details. I pray that Your hand of mercy and grace would orchestrate everything perfectly. And upon all the other requests of the church, Lord, our prayer list is lengthy. Those with cancer, Lord, those who are confined to their homes, those who want to be here, who can't be here, Lord, we just lift them up to You today and pray that You'd give them a special visit. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You in Jesus' name.
Church, would you stand with me this morning? And could we stand and could we sing the first and the last verse of Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved an old wretch like me. Everyone sing with me this morning. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. When we seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you are visiting with us today on this Mother's Day, what a special day it is. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. We know that many are spending the day with their mothers today, and they're there at church visiting with them, and we're thankful for that opportunity for them to be able to do that today. So we just pray for traveling mercies for them. And we just pray they'll just have a great day today. There'll be no service this evening, giving you an opportunity to spend time with your families, with your mothers today. Maybe if you can't be with them, just give them a phone call. Let them know you're thinking about them, that you love them. And for some of us, that might be millions and millions of miles away because they've already gone home to be with the Lord. And but the Lord will give us the strength today and the peace that only He can give. We'll share a little bit about that a little more here in a few moments. But please remember, again, no service tonight, but we do have service on Wednesday, Bible study and prayer meeting, 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. And remember the book of the Revelation, if you haven't already signed up and you want to get a copy of that. I think we're up to, what, 77? Is that where we are? 77 copies have gone out. We praise the Lord for that. And keep those copies going. If you've already received one and you want to gift one, to someone, that'd be a great gift to give to someone. let them sit and read through that. They might just enjoy the reading and what they will find in there, the biblical truths of that book are ringing clear to us. And it is so true. We are approaching a time of the Lord's return. You agree with me on that? And we look forward to going home to be with Him. It won't be very long, church. We need to get the good news out there that Jesus is coming soon. And we look forward to His return. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Please remember all of the prayer requests. We have so many. And I see your bulletins for those. I know that each class probably has a long list of prayer requests. And we do have many of those. So please remember each one of those. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the offering, both the gift and the giver. Pray for Pastor this morning as he brings our message. And let's just pray that the Lord would touch our hearts, draw us closer to Him. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Brother Don, would you take us to the Lord in a word of prayer?
Thank you.
What a special day. Mother's Day. And CJ, I didn't get an opportunity to tell you this morning, but what a wonderful job you did this morning in Sunday school, young man. And he started out by saying this, I wonder if someone might have a special memory of Mother's Day. And immediately my mind went back to going to grandmother's house. And we would all gather together, and once we could get everyone together, you understand it, never fail. Nobody can ever get anywhere on time because, again, we're all Baptists, you understand. And someone was always late, one of those being my mother bringing the mac and cheese, but we'll wait. And the deviled eggs, my aunt always brought those, and we were usually done eating by the time she got there. But, man, I remember those fond memories of getting the whole family together on Mother's Day to honor her, my grandmother and my mother and all the mothers that were there. But I noticed down through the years that seemed to go away as she did, and we just don't seem to quite get together like we once did. Oh, we try to. And then my mother left this world and went to a land far better. This morning took an opportunity on Facebook and said, Happy Mother's Day. Oh, I so miss you. But man, I thought about what a wonderful day this is if you can be with your mother. To just be able to say, I love you. Or call her and just say, I just want to tell you that I love you. I'm telling you, there is no greater gift. Is there a mother in this place that would say, you are so right. There is no greater gift than that. So I could go on and on, but all morning I said, Lord, what would you have us to sing this morning? You know, there's some older songs. I thought, no, that just didn't seem to really fit. But David sang a song a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday evening. So I know he's probably looking at me funny right now. If you'll swing that microphone around there, pal. And this morning I thought about Melita. And I thought about Melissa Sloan. She is not here this morning. On Facebook, she was a little transparent this week. And she said, I'm having such a difficult time. You see, her mother passed away 7 months ago. That is so fresh. Some of us, it seems fresh, doesn't it, Melita? They've been gone some time, but it seems so fresh. There's one thing that I so look forward to. Number one is I'm going to be able to see my Savior. That was a request this morning. I know that was an Easter song we sang. You don't have to tell me. I know that was an Easter song. We sang that by request. There's one thing that I long for, and that is to see my Savior, first of all. Amen? That'd be amen right there, church. I look forward and I long to see Him face to face. I will be able to praise Him for about the first 10 million years. But then, I'm telling you, friend, CJ said, you know, there's no love like a mother's love this morning in Sunday school. Oh, I know I'm a big old boy, but I'm going to climb right up in her lap again. I can't wait to kiss her on the cheek and say, oh, I have missed you. And then we will praise Him together forevermore. Amen. You know what? What a day that's going to be. there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more dying over there. And forevermore, we will just sing praise unto Him. CJ is going to be able to sing over there. Amen? Forevermore, what a day. A glorious day that's going to be. Come on, choir, let's sing.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more dying over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be
when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace.
Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers who are sitting in church this morning, and to all of you whose mothers have gone on. Lord, I'm dedicating this song to you and those moms that we'll meet again someday.
Thank you.
Connie, we need to hear more from you. Great job, great job. We want to do something before we get into the Word for a few moments. I want to recognize our mothers this morning and give you a small gift in appreciation from our hearts to yours for everything that you do and for who you are. And so, first of all, I'd like to call down the Calvary Children's Home mothers, Miss Melita, Darlene, Elna, Tammy, and Megan. If y'all would, come on down, all that are here. And Miss Amanda, Miss Christy. These are double mothers, and so we appreciate them and everything they do, truly. Not only is it a calling to be a mother, but also to mother many is a definite divine calling, so thank you all for everything you do. Other mothers that are here, if you would, come on down at this time and you can receive a gift from us. And for some crazy reason, we run out, we'll give you an IOU. How about that? Come see me if you don't get one. All right, all you mothers, come and stand up front after you've received your gift from Calvary Baptist Church. We appreciate you, mothers, and everything you do. And, of course, there are some that are not here this morning who may be listening online, and we appreciate everything that you do as well. A round of applause. All right, you can take your seat. Thank you so much. I got one more thing I'd like to do before we get into the Word this morning for a few moments. Me and Brother Jack and Brother Don went to go visit Paul Tuck the other morning. Of course, you know that that's Miss Benita's father-in-law. And Brother Paul, he was bragging about how that Miss Melita had set him up with a TV and a live stream right to that TV so that he can tune in and watch visually this morning on Facebook Live. And so I told Brother Paul, I said, well, you tune in, and because you're tuning in, we're all going to say hello to you. So what I want you to do, everybody on the count of three in unison, just say, hello, Brother Paul, okay? One, two, three. Hello, Brother Paul. We love you, brother. Some call him Morgan, some call him Paul. I've just always heard Paul. So. Brother Paul. And by the way, he's doing great. He's doing great. Let's take our Bibles for a few moments this morning and turn to the first book of the Bible, book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. While you're turning there, many things have come to mind this week concerning mothers and different things. Mothers, the mother's duties, the mother's behind-the-scene work, everything that she does. But there's just a couple of statements that jumped out to me this week, and I said them before, but I believe that we can basically describe the home in three categories. There's the husband, he's the head of the home. There's the wife, she's the heart of the home. And then there's the children, and they're the hope of the home. And the very definition of the word mother, as it refers to the first time it's mentioned in the Bible, has to do with the idea of being the bond that keeps the family together. And I want to say this morning that mothers deserve praise, and we just don't praise you enough. We thank you for everything you do. You are truly the bond of the home, and it's the mother's heart that keeps things going with the blessings of God, of course, that are flowing. I wanted to mention that. That was a blessing to me. Genesis chapter number 3, and I want to bow for a word of prayer, and I want to read one verse, verse number 20, and we will bring the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful for being able to honor these mothers, Lord. They are not confined to a small gift, their value and worth, but the token, Lord, I pray was given to them, Lord, just to express how much we appreciate them from the church. And Father, I pray that you would be with every mother this morning. God, I pray that you would give them grace and give them guidance. And Father, let motherhood continue. It seems that in our days, Lord, that the very occupation of motherhood is being changed by the world and de-emphasized in the manner in which it originally started, and that is to be a godly mother. And Lord, to be that example for younger women. We're thankful for our mothers. We're thankful for grandmothers. We're thankful, Lord, for everything you do and for who you allow to come into our lives that we may benefit from. Be with us in the next few moments. I pray that you would speak through your word to your people. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3. Notice verse number 20 this morning. The Bible says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. I want to preach this morning for a few moments on this topic, or this subject, Mother Eve. Mother Eve. What we have before us is the world's first mother. And this is kind of comical. I got to thinking this morning that it's no way possible, but if she was alive today, she would be around 6,000 years old. Eve would, according to earth time. And we have Eve here as Mother Eve. She's the world's first mother. I want to mention some things that surround this verse, verse 20. And I want verse 20 to be the centerpiece in which I surround the things I want to say. And I believe that along with these points I'm going to mention this morning, just three simple points concerning Mother Eve and her motherhood and her servitude, I believe it could also benefit all mothers here today. And there's some things in the life of Eve that took place in her home that I think that the Lord will use this morning to better benefit not only mothers, but all of us who has a home and a family. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 20, that Eve was the matriarch of all mothers. She was the matriarch. The Bible says again in verse 20, "And Adam," excuse me, "and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." Now, Adam gave his wife a name, and I do not believe that would play out today in giving names to wives. That was God arranged, and Adam was able to do that. I'll say this, that the reason why Adam named his wife Eve had to do with the faith that Adam had. It was an act of faith concerning the promised seed of the Savior. Look back, if you would, in chapter number 3. Chapter number 3 in verse 1, it starts out as the serpent. Look at verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so we have here this temptation that came, and it was projected to Eve. Eve responded to it. The devil was allowing, or the serpent was allowing, doubt to creep into what God had already said. God put a period, and he said, do not eat of that tree in the center of the garden, the one of knowledge of good and evil. Period. But now the devil has put a question mark where God put a period. Hath God said? I want to say this morning that many times in life, the devil will try to come to us and put a question mark where God has put a period. There's a lot of things that God has said not to do. There's a lot of things that God has said to do. And that settles it. Whether we do those things or not, whether we're right, whether we're wrong, whatever God says to do, we're to do it. But we know the story, and we know what happens. Eve saw in verse number 6 the tree that was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7, their eyes were open. They had sinned against God. And now they're in the pursuit of hiding from God and covering their nakedness. At one time, they didn't even know they were naked. But because sin entered in the picture, it distorted the pureness of the relationship they were in. And so now there must be a sacrifice. There must be a clothing. And we know that God had allowed an animal to be slaughtered, and then God covered them with coats of skins. I want you to notice in verse number 14. In verse number 14, the Bible says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. God had some curse words. He said, number one, in verse number 14, cursed or cursed above all cattle. Number one, this serpent used to be a beautiful creature. It had four legs and would stand straight up. And then, but because of this beguilement from him, he was cursed. And now we have snakes. Upon thy belly thou shalt be all the days of thy life. Thou art cursed above all cattle. And so God continues the cursing here with his curse words. He, above all cattle, is cursed. Look at verse number 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And he goes down and down and down. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed, or cursed, is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And so because of this partaking of that fruit from Eve, there were some curse words. The ground was cursed. The cattle was cursed. And today we still see the curse. There's death in all of creation. There's death in the animal kingdom. There's death in the plant life. And literally, you look at a tree and you see the tree as it's dying and withering. That's from the curse. Because the land that we're going to live in, there's going to be no curse. It's going to be lifted. A place where there is no more death upon nature, and a place there is no death upon the human life. But I want you to notice this. Back in verse number 14, he said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so this is a promise that through Eve eventually would come the Messiah that would bruise the head of Satan upon the cross of Calvary. And we have all of this playing out. And of course, the curse is now here as a result of sin. And the curse would not be lifted until Jesus would come and bleed and die and then be raptured out into a perfect place. And so now there's childbearing, verse 16. And then there's working in verse 17 down through verse number 19. All of this is from the consequences of the original sin. But we get to verse 20, and the Bible says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve." And the name Eve means living. It means living. "And Adam called his wife's name Eve," or living, "because she was the mother of all living." Now, Adam named Eve in faith. Because when verse number 20 comes into play, it's just after their sin. And they were hiding from God, and they were just got beguiled by the serpent. That's when the Lord started talking about the seed and the bruising of his head and the bruising of the heel. And so we see in verse number 20 that Adam expresses his faith, calls Eve, calls his wife by her name, Eve. Names are Eve, which means living. And so we see that she's the matriarch of all lives. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, which means living, because she was the mother of all living. In other words, she is and was the starting point of every person that's been born into this world. We see she's the matriarch of all mothers. But there's a second thing I want us to notice. Not only she was matriarch of all mothers, but she was married as well. And I want you to notice in verse number 20 that before matriarchhood, if I could say it that way, she was wife. Before matriarch, she was wife. Look at verse 20 again. "And Adam called his wife's name Eve." And so before being a matriarch, she was wife. You say, why are you even mentioning this? What's the importance of mentioning wife before matriarch? I'll tell you why. Because a family was getting ready to be built. A family was getting ready to be established. And biblical marriage is the first step toward building a family. So we see here that she's the matriarch of all mothers, but at the same time, she's married. And she was married before the matriarchhood. Turn back to chapter number 2 for a moment, if you would. Why I mention this is simply because of the fact that biblical marriage is the first step toward building a family. A family was being built. We see that Mother Eve, before she was Mother Eve, she was Wife Eve. Chapter number 2. I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 21 through 23, we see the position of biblical marriage. Now listen to this. Verse number 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had," notice this, "taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Verse 21 through verse number 23 is the position of biblical marriage. Biblical marriage is the foundation of raising a family for God. So the position is simply this, is that there were two separate lives. But now those two separate lives have become one life. Positionally. Again, if you look in verse number 21, he uses the terms, he took one of his ribs. That rib is gone from Adam's side. It came from Adam. And that rib was no longer Adam's. Verse 22 says it was taken from him. Verse number 23, he says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And so we see that there is a oneness positionally. I want to say that anytime anyone gets married, it's no longer two lives. It's one life. We've been staying with some friends for the past 2 months, and we just have gotten into our new residence, and last night was our first night, and praise the Lord. But at the same time, I woke up this morning, and the suit you're looking at was in about five or six different places, from the garage to the upstairs bedroom where I study, and so we got here, but we praise the Lord for it. The family we stayed with, husband and wife, but this husband and wife, everywhere that he went, she went. Now, there were times where they weren't together, but when they got home, it's like they were a magnet. They would come together, and one would pick up where the other would leave off. We were coming back from moving a load the other day from the storage, and me and the husband was, and he said, Justin, he said, watch this. He said, when I get home, I guarantee you, if we get home around 5, I guarantee you there's going to be a pot of coffee brewing. And I want to tell you, we got home around 5, and there was a pot of coffee brewing. And listen, it gets much more deeper than that. The emotional possession they both had, and their likes and wants. And I said, Millard, I said, I want to be honest with you and get a little emotional with you. I said, it is really refreshing seeing y'all's marriage, because I don't see Millard and I don't see Judy. I see one. You have the same desires. You have the same want-tos. I mean, you're not always together, but it seems like where one is, the other one, and if you don't finish, the other one comes and finishes, and you're all together. Biblical marriage is a positional unity between two lives. They come from separate lives, but they come back together. You say, why are you saying this? Because we're talking about a family that's being built. And unless the mother and the father recognize their position, it's no more father over here and does what he wants to do and shuns the mother, but it's both coming together. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about that the man as a picture of the church, God given it, husband and wife, in the picture of marriage. He says the man doesn't just care after himself and nourish and cherish his flesh, but he cares after his wife as well to have a healthy marriage. I want to say this morning that is a unified marriage, is where a man and a woman, they come from separate lives and they come together and there's one unit. They care for one another and they're there for one another. And so verse number 21 through 23 gives us the position of biblical marriage. But then verse 24 tells us the practice of biblical marriage. Notice that first word, therefore. And anytime you see the word therefore, you have to ask yourself, what is it there for? Because verse 21 through 23 tells us that there were two lives that came together, positionally, is now unloading in verse number 24, practically. Look what he says. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is the practice of biblical marriage. He tells in verse 24, he says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. You know what the call is for the husband this morning? To leave and to cleave. There's no way that a man and a woman can come together in a biblical unified marriage unless they leave father and mother out of it. And listen, there's times where you may approach father and mother for instruction and guidance. But the word cleave here, it means to stick through the idea of glue. Stick like glue. Let me ask you a question this morning. What kind of glue is in your marriage? Elmer's glue or Gorilla glue? I remember I went to Milford Elementary up on Austell Road, and I remember that Elmer's glue. And we would have them little projects, and okay, class, stick it together, put that glue in the middle. And I would, it just seemed like this slid right apart just every time. But here recently, through moving, I've been experienced with some Gorilla glue. And not only Gorilla glue, but Gorilla tape. Duct tape even. And I want to say something. You may be able to separate Elmer's glue, but you can't separate Gorilla glue. You can't separate duct tape, and you can't separate Gorilla tape whenever it's applied to something. And I want to say this morning that a marriage where two people, they're to recognize their position and know that it's not just individuals anymore. There's no more two-ness, but it's a oneness. But then they're to practice that oneness. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And listen, that's so important when we start talking about having kids. Because if there's problems in the home and mom and dad aren't recognizing that it's not just mom, it's not just dad, and they're not acting as though they're one, but it's two separate lives, how's that going to play out when kids are involved? If we want to have a type of home that is to be glorified by God, we must leave and cleave, and it starts with a man. The Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. Father, husband, if you have an argument, or if you had one this weekend or this morning with your wife, leave your dad, mom out of it. Wife, if you had an argument with your husband this weekend or this morning, leave dad and mom out of it. And I'll tell you what you do. Leave dad and mom out of it. Recognize you're not two separate people. Recognize you're not enemies with one another. But recognize you are one flesh, and then practice it. Leave mom and dad out of it and cleave to one another. Marriage isn't easy. But I'll tell you what, it is a blessing from God. Marriage is. And so we see here that there's the foundation of the biblical marriage, and the position is oneness. The practice is leaving and cleaving. And I said all of that to say this, that Eve was a wife before a mother. We have so many people in our day where God's way and God's divine of biblical marriage and raising kids is so out of the way it should be, totally out of element. And because of that, the community, and because of that, the school system in the world is, we're in the uproar, the turmoil we're in is because of that. So we see this morning that she was married. You see, she was matriarch. Notice another thing in chapter number 4, in verse number 1. We now see Eve in motherhood. We looked at her as matriarch, meaning one day the Lord Jesus would eventually come. We looked at her as married. She was wife before she was mother. That's because the family was being built and biblical marriage needed to be instituted. And now she was in motherhood. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain, said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock. and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? I want to mention the very first thing in contrast of what I just said about someone raising a family outside the bonds of biblical marriage, whatever the situation may be. It may be kids before marriage. However it happened, God can still use a family and turn things around. But whether it happened that way or whether it happened the right way with marriage first and then kids, it still happened in their life. It still went the other way. Somebody said one time, this person said, you know, Brother Justin, just because you're in church and you got Lily in church, that doesn't mean that Lily's going to turn out right. I almost said, hold on 1 second, and hung the phone up. I didn't do that, though. And that's true. But let me say something this morning. We've had Lily in church since she was in the belly of my wife, up in the choir at Floyd Road Baptist Church, listening to gospel music, singing in the choir. While my child has been in church, and the person I was talking to, their child hasn't been in church. Hey, Lily may fall away. God forbid. My prayer is that she will not, but she will walk in the ways of the Lord all of her life. But if she does, she has a foundation to fall back onto. She has Scripture in her heart. She's a born-again Christian. Listen, it can happen to anybody. But I have this promise this morning, and you too as parents, is that if we raise our kids in the way of the Lord, they may depart, but they cannot depart from what God has instilled. It will be there every time they try to stray, every time they try to get away, every time they try to do something that's involved in the world. And, oh, Mom, Dad, I'm graduated now. I'm not going to go to church anymore. And let me just say this, much of the time, that's how it happens. They're in church and through their childhood and up into high school, and then when they go off to college or they have opportunity to decide what they want. Not all of them, but some leave and don't come back. But if they have a foundation where Mom and Dad had a biblical marriage and they did their best to follow Jesus, there are some things in their life they cannot depart from. I want to say this morning that Eve is a mother now. Verse 1, chapter 4, and Eve knew, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Think about how Eve must have felt after that promise, after her husband naming her Eve, mother of living. We've got a man child. He's the one. The Lord, the Savior, is going to come through him. This is it. Only to see that that child killed the other child. I mean, listen. Cain killed Abel. In verse number 9, the Bible says, And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And my answer to that question is, You are your brother's keeper. Cain was Abel's brother's keeper. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers this morning. We are to be accountable and hold accountability toward each other. But we see here that she was in motherhood. And she bore Cain, and then she bore Abel. And in the process of time, verse number 3, the Bible says, And in process of that time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. I want to say that these two offerings were different because of the fact of what was accepted and what wasn't accepted. And we know that Abel was, he brought a sheep and the firstlings of his flock. He brought the very best he had. And there was bloodshed that was accepted. And Cain's wasn't accepted. He brought the works of his hands. Never is the works of our hands accepted in the eyes of God, but that blood sacrifice is accepted. The Lord Jesus Christ. And but so far we see that this promised seed was potentially, in my estimation, in my imagination, maybe Eve thought, well, maybe Cain is the one. Maybe Cain's the one, but then, or maybe Abel's the one, but Cain killed Abel. And now we see that Cain is on the run. Look in verse number 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth. More cursed words. Which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. If you look down in verse number 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Nod means wandering. And so now we have a life that started with husband and wife in a biblical marriage, and then motherhood came, but then the family fell apart. Cain killed Abel, and now Cain is running from God himself in the land of Nod, wandering around. I wonder this morning if there's anybody here that has ever experienced a family breakup. You've raised your kids in church and you did the best you can do and you paid your tithes and offerings and worshiped the Lord for years, but now you're in a family mess up, a family hang up. And potentially it looks like that maybe you're feeling God has forgotten about you, or the promises of God are not valid for you. I want to say, if God has promised something, and if we're doing the best we can to live our lives for the Lord based upon His Word, that foundation cannot be destroyed. There have been seeds planted in this family we're talking about. There has been promises embraced. But as of now, Cain is wandering and Abel's dead. Notice this, verse number 24. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Look at verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Listen to this. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. There is always hope for our families. Listen, there is hope. You start your family in church, continue your family in church. That don't secure a life in church. But at least if you raise them right and train them right. Listen, God's not through with your family today. There's still some Seths out there. And there's still some Enoses out there. And listen, God is still at work in your life. And God's at work in my life. And it may seem like nobody is calling on God in your family. But just hang on. Because God has a plan. He had a plan here. And although Cain slew Abel, then came Seth and Enos, and they began to call upon the name of the Lord. We're talking about Mother Eve this morning. Mother Eve, the world's first mother. Probably sounds a little more complex now. I said in the beginning, and I'll say it again as we get ready to conclude, I appreciate all mothers. You appreciate all mothers, and we really don't know, the men at least, don't know what a mother goes through. There may be some Mother Eves here this morning where you felt like that something surely was about to come to pass. There was some light at the tunnel, but yet it contrasted into a different way. Hang on. Keep going to church and keep praying. Keep believing God, because He has some success out there. It is God's will for every family to call upon the name of the Lord. And in due time, with much prayer and much steadfastness, it'll happen. Mother Eve. But as we look at it and break it down, she was wife first. Then she was in motherhood. And we know her today as the matriarch of all mothers, and that is Eve. Heavenly Father, we thank You, we love You, we praise You for who You are and for what You do, Lord. My prayer today is that maybe someone here needs to come and, Lord, to just embrace the truth of Your word, that though there may have been some things departed from the house, dear Lord, if You're our foundation, You haven't departed. We pray, Lord, that You would raise up some Seths, some Enoses, and do a mighty work. We love You. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have